do not ignore the whispers until they become screams. If your body is whispering to you through symptoms and you are
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, Rebel Souls. Welcome back to another episode on Rebel Wellness Podcast. I am taking a little kind of pause on some of the nutrition and fitness and science chats that we usually do. And I thought I would just kind of give a little update on Kales, what is going on in my life, something that I am kind of entering a season I am entering in, because I think that it's important that my fellow kind of girl bosses or hustlers or, you know, just ambitious women in general kind of hear from other women who have experienced it maybe later on. Like maybe you're still in your 20s or maybe you're in your 30s, but like you're new to like entrepreneurialism or just really starting into your career, but like going full force and like sharing. Like more women need to share kind of the uncomfortable conversations of like what happens when you do that for too long and like how to be just like honest about the challenges that kind of come with being a, you know, boss chick, like somebody who just gets shit done and makes a lot of money on their own and hustles hard and serves her people, you know, all these different things, you know, not necessarily like all of those things I would define myself, but I've been really proud of my career and what I've been able to make of myself and just with my skill set and the community I've cultivated over the last decade, you know, working myself from making nothing to starting my business, making $600 a month and then making six figures a month for the last, well, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years or so, which is 2/3 of my career. And I'm really proud about that. Like, it's not just about the financial numbers and like the compensation necessarily, because, you know, there's so many women who've made way more money than that in that whatever career they've started. But at the same time, like just that feeling that you are self-sufficient and that you are able to do what you are passionate about and love, especially if you kind of hone in your craft and you get really good at it, you know what I mean? And just understanding what people need and being able to provide something for others, but sometimes it's at the expense of yourself. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today, because this is my birthday month. September is just, it's my favorite month, not just because it's my birthday, but because it's the autumnal equinox or whatever. It's fall. It is when we shift into fall, not just yet, but it's when it happens. And I love everything about fall, always have, always will, not just to be your stereotypical fall girly, but it's just a big month that I think always kind of shifts us into a slower season. And that's something that I think is a good like little entry into today's topic about soft girl season. And this is something that's not honestly a new term. It's newer. I would say I for sure would attribute, 2022 to when it started to really like kick off. I know that more like Nigerian influencers kind of started the soft girl aesthetic, and then it kind of shifted into a whole different thing. I wouldn't necessarily say that those are exactly the same concept, but I do want to just kind of acknowledge that was a kind of kickoff of this topic and this vibe and this energy that is really going around lately. And it was perfectly timed for me because I've been existing in a hard girl season. I guess you could just call it like a boss babe season for so long, because it was me. Like, I was left after college on my own. I had just left a really long relationship where I relied on him more than I probably should have, as a lot of us learn, when you go through life, but also just like anyone coming out of college, when you're figuring out your career and you're figuring out where you want to go. Depending on if you have student loan debt or any debt you've just acquired in general, just being a young person in a consumer nation nowadays, it's more and more common to make a lot of financial mistakes, and when you have to be self-sufficient on yourself, that was really redundant, but when you have to become self-sufficient, it really makes or breaks you. It really shows you what you're made of or what you're not, or it helps you develop those skills, if anything. And for me, when I started my business journey, I was 21 and I graduated college, and I had probably, no joke, $1,200 in my savings at the time. Because I had just a lot of different expenses. I was not making good money working when I worked for LA Fitness and stuff. They do not pay their trainers anything. Just not to talk crap about it, but big box gyms, like, they really kind of do their trainers dirty. And so I knew that once I had graduated college and I wanted to start my own business as a private trainer, because I knew that I could charge what I'm worth and make a better, ratio of what I was getting paid out versus, what I was paying for time at a studio, whatnot. And I had a lot more flexibility, could put a lot more of my own personal brand into it and all those kind of things. And so I was really excited about it, but it was very scary. I remember all the stress I was feeling because I just felt like, even though I didn't have a ton of responsibilities, I didn't have a pet, I had a very good situation with my apartment that I was living in and a whole lot of other little components to it that were, made it not as stressful as some people probably have if they have a lot more of those kind of financial responsibilities. But it's still, for me, I felt determined to prove that I could do it, because honestly, so many people kind of doubted me, told me things of you should be going into marketing. You're really smart and you're pretty and you would be really great at marketing. You'd make so much money in marketing, blah, 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 or these different things. And for me, I was like, but I'm just not passionate about that. And in my life, I am for sure. I have to do marketing. So in a way, I guess inadvertently, I am doing marketing when I have my own business. But when it was that time, I really kind of second-guessed myself a lot. A lot of people said, don't be a trainer, this or that, you're not going to make that much money. But I never wanted to just be a trainer. My passion my dual degree is in nutrition, and I just really wanted to find a way to kind of lifestyle coach the general population, specifically more females, so that I could kind of make an impact on how I've been able to deduce a lot of the complicated topics and things going on in the nutrition world and the fitness world and body image and, diet culture, so many things. So just giving you guys a little bit of background, and this, I will tell you right now, this episode is totally just off script. There is no script going on in this one today, because I just really wanted to talk between the two of us, just a lot of insight into where I've been and where I am now. And if you follow my Instagram at Kaylee Loren, you can check the show notes if you're not already. I just made a post earlier this month about why I am shifting into a soft girl season. And I think that would be a really good one. I'm not going to share exactly the same stuff that's on that. So it has a little bit more of my work history, but I'm kind of speaking more to my career and my history with work and my relationship with work versus all the other stuff that totally does play a role in it, like personal life things and, you know, education things like college and all that kind of stuff. All of those things also contributed quite a bit, but at an mostly what I'm talking about when it comes to this season is I'm talking about it in like my relationship to work and, you know, the quote unquote work-life balance, which is kind of a myth, honestly. I'll talk more about that in a second. But I hope that this episode, like I was saying earlier, is helpful for you so that you can kind of maybe reflect on your own life and look at like, where are you possibly hustling too hard still? Or maybe, you know, if you start to hustle harder or, you know, just lose that healthy, I guess we'll call it balance for now, but that healthy relationship to rest and taking better care of yourself and indulging in hobbies and things that kind of light up your soul, paired with what are you doing for your career and how much is it, you know, impacting your life or your health or your family or whatever. And look at those things and kind of see, like, take some inventory. Do you feel happy with it? Do you feel like it's supporting you? Do you feel like it's the right season for you? You know, because there's a lot of women that are totally not in a soft girl season. But if you're somebody who's never experienced this soft girl season, like me, you probably are due. I would say that there is a good chance that you might need to take a season off of the hustle. And so that's a little bit what we're going to be talking about here in this episode today, so that I hope that you enjoy this conversation and that it feels kind of like a good little pause from all the sciencey things. And we're just talking a little bit more on that soul-based emotional side, because it's really important that we stay in contact with our soul. If you've never really like met yourself, if you've never met your soul in a way, you're going to want to listen to this one for sure, because I think it's going to be important that you reflect afterwards the same way that I'm reflecting right now. And I'm not like, I'm going through it right now. So this is like a real life, real time moment and conversation. And we'll see where it goes from here when I reflect on this a year from now. But I think it's a really important season that I think every adult female needs in their life. So I really hope that you enjoy this. But before we go into this more, I would love to invite you to come join my wellness newsletter group at coachkales.com. You can sign up anywhere on there. You can also snag any of my freebies. There's links in the show notes for all of this stuff that I'm talking about. But coachkales.com is, again, the best place for you to do that. There's also my Stan store is a super easy place to download my freebies, stan.store/kales. Again, you can check the show notes. And the last one I want to say is join our Instagram community at Rebel Wellness Podcast and Kaylee Leren. I would love to see you there, and I will say hello if I catch you when you follow. But without further ado, let's kind of jump into a little bit more of this soft girl season. So I'll kind of go back to and finish what I was talking about with my early life. So when I had started my business and I began to realize that, like, okay, it's all on me. Like, let's see if you can do this. You know, there was always the pressures of just making sure that you are not a statistic. You know, I was a business minor, so I had to take all those business classes, including Entrepreneurism 101, which when I look back to it was kind of hilarious, because it was like, there probably should have been like a three-parter entrepreneurism class, which I'm sure, like, if you're a business major, maybe those were more things. But my class, they just really did not prepare you for how much sweat equity you'd have in it if you were more of a solopreneur, a solopreneur is kind of a term they're using more the last maybe decade or so. Maybe it's been going on for longer, but I've heard it definitely a lot more the last decade, where you are the business, you know, the business runs only with you. And that would arguably be the hardest part about being a private trainer, is that, like, initially, especially if you don't plan to like expand and manage a team, if you don't like managing people and you like providing the service yourself, like it's really hard to not be a solopreneur when you're a trainer. And so a lot of my trainer friends and stuff will kind of agree and understand that, like, you, when you are the business and you're the one with the face and the body that's training the other bodies, it's really hard for you to step away from work at times. It's really hard for you to not just be there all the time for people. And it's also really hard for you to, like, find any other way to get time back in your schedule. And the only way that people do when you want to stay in training is, again, you hire more people and they train people for you, or they program people for you, but then it's not you. And the hard part is personal training is personal. A lot of people want you. So that's the part that was always the trickiest for me, was that, like, my clients wanted to work with me. They were working with me because of me. And I don't think that way just because, like, I'm not thinking I'm on some high horse. It's more that people literally would tell me that. Like, sometimes I would say, okay, well, I'm going to go on a vacation for once. I'll be gone for 2 weeks max. I mean, God, it took me so long to take a 2 week vacation. I think actually I never took a 2 week vacation the first 8 years of working as a trainer, now that I'm thinking about it. Because I remember the first time I took a 2 week vacation, I was so scared. I was, like, freaking out. And it was kind of tough, but I'll talk about that in a second. That just a week, I would be like, okay, I have the option of, you know, a lot of times trainers will be like, you can work with my other trainer friend for that week if you want to meet for the session so you don't get out of your routine, or, you know, you could follow your programming or whatever, and we'll get back to it when I get back the next week. And most people would just be like, I'll just follow my programming. I don't really want to work with anybody else. Like, that's, I mean, personal training is personal, like I said. And so that was one of those things that always made it tough for me to take time for myself, is it suddenly became that I was kind of always there for everyone all the time. And, like, I would maybe take, back in the day, maybe like 3 weeks of vacation total, if that. It was usually like a couple of days leading up to a long weekend. And then, like, I barely ever took vacations ultimately. And it was always tough because I was like, I can't leave my clients. They rely on me. You know, I'm helping with their health, blah, blah, blah. And that was definitely toxic mentality that I had. But it also wasn't very good because I'd have, like, quite a few clients, like, especially usually, like, my clients over the age of like 40 or so would usually be like, I'm going on a vacation next week for 2 weeks. I'll see you when I get back or whatever. They'd say that to me. And I'd be like, all right. Like, this was before, when I was a baby trainer and I wasn't, you know, I didn't have specific policies and contracts in place because I was still learning and figuring things out. Obviously things changed as time went on and I learned patterns and bad things. But then basically I would, you know, later in the year say, I'm going to be gone for the week of Christmas to go back home to California to be with my family. And, like, clients would just give me so much, like, passive aggressive comments, or, you know, this or that, or I'd get back and they'd be like, oh, it feels like forever since I've seen you, this or that, or I completely fell off my routine because I didn't see you this week. There was, like, so many things that people would say. And I'm not, like, I'm not talking in this episode to, like, bash clients, but I'm just giving a little context to, like, the challenges on the other end as a trainer and, like, how it is so hard to prioritize yourself because you're in the business of taking care of other people. And a lot of times people put way too much responsibility on you for their own personal responsibility over their own health. Like, we are the people to give you the tools to be as fit or healthy or whatever as possible. But, like, it's up to you to stay in a routine, keep up the routine, learn the things. You know, it's never a good thing to have a client forever because that would mean that they're mostly just using you as something to keep in their routine, and they're not actually going to, like, take care of themselves on their own. Like, it's not a good thing for your clients to not have learned skills from you to take from life and graduate, you know? And there's always going to be clients. Like, I'm not saying that it's bad if you work, like, with a trainer for, like, multiple years, but if you can't leave that trainer easily, then that was not the healthiest relationship when it comes to, like, fitness and like having a coach and all that kind of stuff, because you should be learning, you know what I mean? But anyways, with that all said, it was so hard for me to not just be working all the time. And I would fill up my entire weeks, be working such long days, like 10-hour days usually, because my day would have to start around 5:30. And then because training, you train when people are not working for the most part, I'd be working pretty much until like 6 p.m. every day. So those were more like 12-hour days. And then on top of that, I would do all my own like emails and social media and website. And at one point I tried to do some YouTube. And then I was also running like women's workshop groups with one of my colleagues and my best friends. And they were like, I just look back and I'm like, wow, I was doing so many things and I loved doing them. And I was doing like private workshops and running programs for gyms that I worked at and all these different things. But I just never was like actually embodying the health that I wanted to. And slowly but surely, my symptoms started to show up of like hormonal imbalances, because I was just in go mode all the time, which meant I was having like high cortisol, chronically high cortisol for a really long time. And I mean, all throughout college too, in the earlier times, I was always working. I've been working since I was 14 and a half. I talk a little about it a little bit in that post I made on Instagram, but I basically had to get like a special work permit, because when I was that age was around the recession at the time, and my family was really strapped because of just a whole bunch of different things, but like a lot of families were during the recession. And so because I was becoming a teenager and to like buy my own clothes and all this other stuff to support myself, essentially, I was told by my parents like I needed to get a job. And so I've essentially been working ever since then. I never really took a significant break. And you know, I kind of look back at it and I realize that a lot of those memories, like I mostly got to be a kid more when it was like because of partners I had at the time and going and doing fun things, or just like some family trips scattered in here and there. But ever since I was like 14 and a half, a lot of the rest of my life revolved around work. Like I missed most of my school football games because I always had to work at the restaurant I started working at when I was 16 and on. And I spent one entire summer working in like a warehouse, packing boxes for a medical supply company. And so there was just a lot of things where I kind of, you know, look back and I was working from the start. Like I barely got a lot of teen years to just dick around. And so, I mean, and it's all right. Like I get why it was the way it was. And it definitely built a really strong work ethic. And I was already a very ambitious person. I've always been. And so when it kind of just continued that way through the rest of college, like I was also working at a Michelin restaurant, being the expediter for a couple of years before I moved up and finished college in Portland and started in the fitness industry, that I was just like, I was just going constantly, guys. And it really gave me a lot of perspective as to why the symptoms I have now and the issues that I'm working on now presented the way they did and how early they have. The something that was really interesting for me when I was going through another huge major stress, I don't want to call it a milestone because milestones are usually good things, but a kind of just significant time in my life that was an insane amount of stress was when I was relocating after the pandemic to California. And my grandmother, who was like my mother, was passing, and a whole bunch of change was happening. And it's really scary. Like a lot of people don't talk about what it's like to build a business and a community-based business for a huge chunk of life and becoming very successful and then being like, okay, peace out. I'm relocating. Like, goodbye. A lot of people don't talk about that. I've recently, you know, I don't know, maybe because a lot of people haven't done that because it's scary and it's like the unknown, you know what I mean? And you're basically like, you're kind of risking, like you're really rolling the dice, that's for sure. And I don't think I ever really comprehended it until later when I started to be like, why did I get shingles at the age of 27? You know, because most people are like, it's really well known that shingles is more for adults. Like if you have another stressful episode in your later life, or if something triggers it, you know, there's specific older reasons that would happen. And so when I broke out in shingles that year that I relocated and my grandma passed and all this different stuff, I was like, wow, okay, so I really underestimate just how much I can handle, like how much I juggle and how much my brain comprehends is not that much, because it apparently is enough. And when talking to some of my doctor friends about it and this or that, they're like, yeah, shingles can come back out when you put your body in such a stressed state, it activates it again. And they've been seeing it more in especially young females, like in the later 20s females, because you have to get like chicken pox and all of that, you know, you get the, I think it's a herpes virus or whatnot. But when you get chicken pox when you're a kid, usually you can't bring that out of remission again until you have again like a highly stressful event in your body that triggers it to come active again. And they've been seeing it more with like women these days who have been doing like really hardcore schooling, like doing law degrees or medical degrees, you know, this or that, or just their capacity for stress is maxed out for a whole lot of different reasons. And clearly, I remember doing this test when I was in college. And you kind of had this little sheet and you circled how many major life event things have happened. And it helps you better understand, like you get a score at the end and it helps you better understand like how much your stress score or whatever. And I remember a low stress score was anything under 300. And I filled that form out. It was my first year of college. So it was right after I had relocated from California to Portland, Oregon, and a whole lot of things were going on. And I remember I got like 850 on that one. And if I look back and if I were to be able to take that test again, I think in 2021, when I relocated back to California and had this major stress event that I'm telling you about where I got the shingles, that would be probably another 800 or 900 score, because it was like the exact same challenge again, all over again. And so that's just, I just wanted to give you guys some context of just the craziness that my body was experiencing that I kind of was just really downplaying. And I also share that because we, especially as like ambitious hustler chicks, we really don't understand our threshold for, and our capacity rather, for holding on to a lot and juggling a lot of balls. Like some people on average, like can juggle, let's say the normal person juggling higher stress can do like 8 balls at once. Some of us can do like 30 and think that we're fine. You know, a lot of us sometimes are better at doing more and like excelling at that, but in a way where it's like ultimately unhealthy and it's not sustainable, right? And so I was kind of learning this concept through Stephen Bartlett's book, and I think it's Happy Sexy Millionaire or whatever. Great book, by the way. He was talking about the fact that, you know, like sometimes we don't realize that like you have to put a ball down. Even if you think that you can juggle everything, like a ball has to go down. And typically the ball that usually goes down is our health. And that's not great, because obviously you wouldn't be able to even juggle if you didn't have your health, right? And that was a big realization for me the last couple of years, is I was realizing that my body was showing me a whole ton of symptoms and I was ignoring them. Like my body was bruising really easily. At one point, I could eat basically whatever I wanted and I was losing weight, which is not a good thing. A lot of people would like think that that's good. That's actually a bad sign. That means that you're not assimilating the food you eat. And that means you're getting more and more deficient usually. And that means that something's wrong. Sometimes it could be a thyroid thing because your thyroid controls your metabolism. Sometimes it can be just, again, a deficiency thing, a gut health thing. There's a whole lot of different reasons, but that's typically a bad sign actually. When you suddenly lose a lot of weight and it's unexplainable, that's not a healthy thing. And then at the same time, my hair was falling out. It was dull. It was pretty lifeless. My eyes were really dry eyes that like you can't get to rehydrate naturally, like without putting eye drops in and stuff. That's a sign of high cortisol, chronic high cortisol. These were all things that I was learning because I started to research it and I wanted to figure out more of like what's been my issue. And understanding that, like, from my close doctor friend telling me that, like, yeah, when we're in such a high stress state, we can get shingles basically reactivated. I was like, okay, well then stress, probably cortisol. What does high cortisol look like? It's kind of tricky because there's a lot of different terms people like to use for it. And I know you guys have heard me talk about this before. If you've been listening to other episodes, like specifically the high cortisol episode. But you can end up with a situation that is umbrella termed adrenal fatigue. Sometimes it can be referred to as like adrenal insufficiency if you are somebody who is having your adrenal glands be insufficient in creating enough hormone to support your body systems, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so whatever it would become diagnosed as, I started to get further testing, you know, and especially the last 2 years is when I started to pay more close attention to it. And I quickly learned that I have, like, through a saliva test initially, because cortisol is best tested 4 times throughout your day through your saliva, that my cortisol just tanks like noon to 2. And it's supposed to taper off nicely. So it made a lot of sense why I would just crash in the afternoon. And then my hormones came back, my major sex hormones came back super whack. And I'm just going to share all this stuff transparently with you guys so you can know what really happened to me. Even though I, you know, was eating all the best foods as often as possible and following a very consistent workout routine, you know, I walk a lot, you know, especially because I have a dog, I walk 2 to 3 times a day. I don't think there's any days that really go by where I'm under 10,000 steps. On average, there are definitely days that go by where that happens, but it's very far and few in between. And I do a lot of the things, you know, and generally all my health stuff has always come back good. But these last few years, it was starting to get worse and worse through a lot of the symptoms I told you and other symptoms as well, like very low libido, migraines around my cycle. I naturally cycle, so I get a lot of input on my body whenever I have my period and stuff. Getting night sweats around my cycle, that's a sign of hormone imbalance. That's not normal. I fortunately wasn't getting horribly painful periods, but I was almost actually having the issue of not enough hormones where my periods were pretty short, like two-ish, like one heavy day, maybe two, one medium day, maybe two, and then the rest were like light and basically done. And that's a little too short. When you don't have a long enough period, when you're actually having menses, you know, bleeding, if it's not long enough, that can mean that your body's actually not producing enough hormones to ovulate properly, to go through luteal properly, and to like to build all the lining and then to shed the lining properly and all that kind of stuff. And so I started learning more and more about this with my own body through the things that I was experiencing and what I was learning and trying to apply a lot of the natural remedies to it and realizing that it wasn't working. And that was where it was very interesting for me because then I was like, oh crap. So it's worse than I thought. And this is the lesson that I wanted to share you guys is that you don't, like I talk about it all the time and I'm going to walk the walk now because I'm experiencing it. Do not ignore the whispers until they become screams, talking about your symptoms. If your body is whispering to you through symptoms and you are just ignoring them because you think you can just push it aside until you have time, quote unquote, your body's going to make you have time, or you're going to have to make yourself have time because of what's happening to your body. If you actually care about having a good, healthy life, if you really don't, and you just want to become a martyr and destroy your body, that's a different thing. But at the same time, you know, if you can only do better when you know better, and hopefully, you know, through not only this chat, but other people who are talking more about it, especially very successful entrepreneurial women, especially the ones who make multi-millions. And then they're basically reflecting in their later 30s, like, I did it wrong. I should have taken better care of myself. You know, I should have built in systems in place to do better. I should have taken more breaks. You know, there's a whole lot of shoulds. And while you shouldn't should on yourself, it's also one of those things where those of us like me, who's in my early 30s, I'm just 30, I want to do better because I know better, because I'm learning from all these other female entrepreneurs who have made the mistakes that I've been currently making, but much longer. And that can look like infertility throughout your 30s. That can look like a really horrible menopause because your hormones are so whack by the time you get around to it, your perimenopause and your menopause will be just miserable. There's a whole lot of things that you're setting yourself up for in your 20s and your early 30s that are going to be problematic when you get into your mid to late 30s and early 40s. And then you have a whole second half of your life that you could potentially be alive, because we live until we're like basically 80, 85 now. And that's a long time to be post-period with whack hormones and the symptoms that go along with it. And so for me personally, when I look back at like the way I just kept doing too much and not taking space to calm down and slow down, that's where the root of a lot of my problems came from. And because it wasn't that I wasn't eating enough organic. It wasn't that I wasn't eating enough protein. It wasn't that I wasn't drinking enough water and hydrating or sleeping. Well, sleeping actually did play a role into it. But I prioritize my sleep much better now. And I have gotten way better sleep. And I don't have to wake up anywhere close to as early as I used to. I think that that unfortunately was detrimental to a lot of my health, was the many years I spent waking up 4 to 5 times a week at like 5 or 6 a.m. That was too early for what my body should have had. And I cut my circadian rhythm in a negative way that I think continued the cortisol problem. But anyways, the last couple of years especially, I've gotten much better sleep timelines, but unfortunately, it still like wasn't enough for how much damage I had already done to what seems to be like my adrenal glands and all of that, because my adrenal glands are just not producing enough hormones, which is kind of interesting, but it's repairable for sure. It just might need a little bit more intense specific medical care, which I'll make another episode about that in the future when I kind of continue through this, because I'm embarking on it more specifically right now. So I'll fill you guys in on that if you want to know more about it. Is specifically in relation to, you know, different hormone rebalancing techniques and possibly hormone therapy, you know, and things like that, because I do want to get my body balanced as soon as I can, because if we decide to have kids in the next like 3 or 4 years, like right now is the prime time to get the healthiest position I can be for that. But again, also, if I want to set myself up for a better menopause, this is the best time for me to be working on this situation too. And if I just want to have a healthier life in general, like if I want to sleep better and feel better and just a whole lot of different things and look my best and feel my best, like this matters now. And I guess it's also important to note that like preparing for my wedding ceremony earlier this year, I mean, I know exactly how to be in a deficit. I know all the ins and outs. I know how to track my calories. I know what food looks like. Like my brain is like a weird little macro calculator. Most people will be like, oh, I ate this thing. And I was like, yeah, that was like 120 calories, huh? And it was only like 11 grams of protein. Because I also have a photographic memory. So I remember when I look back at food labels, sadly. And it's not a perfect photographic memory, but it's very good at food labels for some reason. And people will be like so weirded out. They're like, how do you remember that? I'm like, I don't know. I looked at it one time a while ago. But anyways, so I know all those things. So it was like not operator error. I know for sure. And I cut back my alcohol significantly in the beginning of the year because I was, you know, trying to clean a lot of that up, prep for the wedding. I wasn't going hardcore. Like I wasn't trying to starve myself or any of that. But throughout those months, trying to be in a deficit, increasing my exercise, you know, all the things, I actually gained like 2 pounds. And I was like, well, that's weird. That does not check out. That does not make any sense. And so that's when I got my hormones initially done at the end of April of this year. And I was like, wow, things are not good. Things are weird. Things are very not healthy. I won't share the explicit details on that right now. Maybe I will if I talk about like kind of the therapy journey later. I will to kind of help you guys, but I don't want you guys to like hyperfixate on like what I have and see if that's what you have, except for that those symptoms were very specific. And, you know, there's a lot of great resources out there that will are people who can help talk you through certain symptoms, like Dr. Tassone, Dr. Sean Tassone. He has like a hormone, he made like a hormone balance Bible kind of thing where he's made different archetypes for different hormone imbalances that he's seen the most in his practice. And you can go to his website and actually check that out and fill out the little quiz, and it will give you like a little predicted hormone imbalance archetype that it thinks you are based off the symptoms you're having. So that's a really useful resource. I know that was one of my entries into trying to better understand my situation, but my archetype has actually shifted quite a bit because I used to be more estrogen dominant. And then now I'm actually kind of in this low testosterone, low everything almost, low progesterone, low estrogen, low DHEA. And so those things are, you know, a lot more common for women in the workforce in like more leader positions, more just, again, hustlers. I'm just using that term hustlers because it's kind of one of those things that we have kind of put on a pedestal, and I've been praised my whole life of being a hustler. And I later realized that is kind of a toxic thing in our society, because even though it feels good to feel useful and busy all the time, it's actually not so good when you're not actually taking care of yourself and your, you know, your quality of work is going less and less just by default of what happens when you do that without any rest. So, I mean, that's a lot of stuff, and it's really hard. So hopefully you guys kind of could follow me throughout that whole story about all of it, because it is one of those things where, you know, a conglomeration of things and a lot of self-reflection and personal responsibility, because I don't blame anybody for this but myself. Like, it's a lesson that I've had to learn on my own, and I'm hoping to share this for you so that you don't have to learn it quite as hard as me. But it is one of those things that's kind of humbling, because it reminds you that like everybody is, we all bleed red, you know, like they say, like we all are humans. We may think in our head that we can be invincible, but we're really not, you know. We're just going to have challenges and stuff that life's going to throw at us. And so it's like, how do you play the cards you're dealt, you know? And so for me, luckily, it's not so bad where I'm like, this is the end of the world, I'm ruined. But it's more like empowering for me to understand that, like, first off, everything I was experiencing was not just in my head, and I wasn't just being lazy and this or that. Second off, I really need to actually take care of myself and pay attention to these things for once, because if I'm going to be constantly encouraging my clients, especially my female clients, to do that too, prioritize their health, you know, fill your cup so you can pour into others, then I have to do it too. And I have to walk the walk, like I said in the beginning. And so it's really important that you pay attention to how you're feeling. And if you get a doctor that dismisses your symptoms or just tries to throw birth control or metformin or Ozempic or like any of these things at you just to fix whatever symptoms they're hearing you talk about, that's not the right approach. And reaching out to, you know, functional medicine doctors or integrative medicine doctors, there's a lot more clinics coming out online now, which are really great. You know, I've been enjoying the team at Merrick Health for myself, and there's a lot of other great integrative professionals like locally that you can hopefully find that might take your insurance. But again, I've had to tell this to a lot of people because it's been my experience my entire life, especially because literally just this year I got health insurance back. I have actually been floating without health insurance since I got booted when I was 26, and I've just had to pay out of pocket for majority of my resources, and I've just had to take as best care of myself as possible. So it was fortunate that, you know, I have a background in health stuff, so I knew how to take better care of myself. But it also is scary. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have that luxury, and there's a lot of challenges that can come with not getting regular checkups or healthcare or dental cleanings or whatever it is. And so having that kind of situation where I understand that a lot of people don't want to pay out of pocket, they'd rather, because they pay for insurance through their work or whatever, they want to use insurance for everything. But unfortunately, guys, healthcare is sick care. You've probably heard me say this many times. You've probably heard other people say this many times who talk about this too, that you have to budget and make a little savings account and pay out of pocket. Have an HSA if you're lucky enough to have it at work. A health savings account, if you don't know what that is, you should see if your work has one or has that opportunity. I think it's pre-tax money that they'll take from your paycheck and put into your HSA for you so that you can use it for health stuff. And it's untaxed, I believe. So that's a good loophole if your work allows it. Good amount of people actually do have that offered from your work. So you should look into it if you don't know already. But you do have to pay out of pocket and budget for yourself some of your spending money on health things, on higher quality healthcare. Unfortunately, that's the way it is now here in the US at least. And so, you know, a couple $100 for better quality blood work, you can totally budget easily for that and you'll get better quality answers from practitioners that care. I don't know if I want to say care more, but like have the ability and the time and the space to look more in depth for you and give you more individualized attention. Because that is the challenge with your PCP, your GP, whatever, through your insurance and your hospital, is that those doctors are literally seeing, like, I think Kaiser doctors, like some of them will have like 6,000 patients in their roster. There's no way they can get to know you one-on-one ever, right? And that's why they have a lot of the interns and the doctors that are doing residency and whatnot. They will help assist the tenured doctors because there's just way too many patients they have to care for, right? So don't expect high quality healthcare through your insurance. Unfortunately, time and time again, I've had to help so many friends and clients navigate better quality care and healthcare advocacy because we just don't get it. We don't get it from our doctors, unfortunately, usually. So it's just get into your mindset that if you save up more and you pay under $2,000 for functional medicine or integrative medicine care and specific like supplements or hormones or peptides or whatever that doctor thinks you need for better quality care, you're probably going to get feeling better and feeling just more like yourself again way faster than trying to just do the rat race and the insurance mill quality of healthcare you're going to get through your doctors. But again, that's just my personal experience. I am coming from 10 years of being in this field where I've actually ended up doing like and learning a lot more about navigating these issues, especially specifically like metabolic dysfunctions and things like that, which is very prevalent nowadays. I think it's something like 88 or 90% of adults have metabolic dysfunction or disease, however you want to term it. And that's a lot, you know, that's a lot. And that's not just talking about like diabetes or something like that. That's like, there's a huge spectrum of metabolic dysfunctions, like PCOS is technically one. And because that's spurred on by a really major hormone imbalance. Very high androgens, usually not enough progesterone. You could also have high estrogen at the same time. And it doesn't always mean you have cysts in your ovaries and things like that. And so there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different things that is really important for you to be paying attention to if your body's telling you to. And so kind of going back, circling back here as we close out this episode, what a soft girl season is when you prioritize walking in your softness, we call it. And it's a season where you don't operate in constant survival mode and you are listening to yourself. You know, you're taking inventory, you're pausing, you're being more mindful, you're doing things that light your soul on fire. There are things that kind of just bring you back to yourself. And frankly, in my experience, I would have to say through the last 8 years or so, I would say I definitely lost a lot of myself in my business. I realized, you know, when I moved back from back to California, I was like, I haven't baked in so long. And everybody who knows me knows that like that's my secondary passion in life is like baking, just baking to bake for people. I just like to bake for people. Like I hardly actually eat the stuff that I bake, not because it tastes bad, but because I just want to give it away. I want to make other people happy with the things. And I love the method of baking, going through it all, you know, all that different stuff. And I realized like, dude, like I haven't done that. I've not done a hobby for myself other than hiking and things like that in so long. And hiking arguably could have just been because it's similar to like exercise. And I was always consistent with exercise. So like little things like that, you know, I haven't read like a random fictional book just for funsies. Like I hadn't done that in a really long time. And there's just so many things. Like I hadn't really like played, just play to play, just to relax and like enjoy yourself. And that is like icky feeling because it's like, what's the point then? Like, what is the point of life? You're born and then you just become like a work machine. Like, no thanks. You know, that's fine for some people, but it's not fine for me, you know, and that's what matters the most is like, is it fine for you? Like, do you feel like the direction you're going and the way you've been living is making you happy? And don't like sugarcoat it. Don't BS yourself. Like, are you actually happy with what you're doing? Because I think you prioritizing your peace and knowing what you want and realigning with what you really want in life is so important. And that's why I'm taking this kind of soft girl season, at least for the next several months. We'll see how long it goes for, but it's not going to go forever. to really just slow down, take the steps that I need to prioritize my peace and make sure that I'm paying attention to healing my body for real and working through things that I've just been ignoring. Because honestly, if we're straight up, a lot of us girls who hustle and just keep our heads down and work hard are avoiding problems. We do not want to think about the way people have hurt us, the way we've hurt people, things that have just happened in life, the hard stuff that we've had to go through or that we've seen or what's going on in the world. And legitimately, we use work to distract ourselves. That is a really common thing. Unfortunately, if we're just being straight up real with ourselves, we're running from stuff and we're using work as our method to distract ourselves. And it may not be the 100% only reason why we're doing it. Because for me, I get a lot of happiness out of helping my clients get healthier and more confident. And, you know, I've been really fortunate to cultivate kind of a ability to help people kind of work through their BS, their blocks, and just come out of life a little bit more rooted or joyful or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, cause I really like to help people kind of feel okay in their own skin and like amplify on that. You know what I mean? And so like my training, when I get to work one-on-one with people, it's not just about fitness. It's kind of almost like that takes it's happening at the same time, but we're also working through other stuff together through it. And that's what I love about movement, like body movement and nutrition and like just fueling yourself better and understanding what your body needs better and taking better care of yourself, you know? And so that stuff was really easy for me to stay passionate about because I care about that. And I care about everybody that I work with, even people that I don't work with. And so that paired with, you know, running from icky feelings and emotions, either from my childhood or from relationships or from anything, you know, it just becomes really easy to just get distracted for years and years and years in work. And then again, like when health kind of slaps you in the face and you realize like, I don't feel good right now. I don't feel good anymore. Like I'm not myself. I'm super serious. You know, like it was one of those things where I started to realize a lot of times people were like, oh, tequila kales is so fun or whatever, or funny or whatever, you know, this or that. And I'd be like, that's because like I'm finally actually like relaxing when I'd have like a margarita or two. And then I'm like, why am I so serious all the time? Like, why have I felt so serious all the time? Because I am super, like, I love that about myself. If I could pick one of those things that, you know, you really love about your character, like the me that I know the most and that like my family and my friends and my husband and stuff loves the most is like super goofy, really weird, honestly, and like actually weird, not just like stupid pretty girl weird, if you know what I mean. Like on those TikToks where they're like, be silly and be weird. And they're just like sticking their tongue out and whatever. And it's like, no, I'm like actually weird. Like you wouldn't think I'm cool if you knew all the weirdness that I am. But in reality, like I lose a lot of that because business has made me have to wear this specific face for so long. And then the way that I've just kind of continued to dishonor my body through ignoring it, trying to communicate to me, all those things have just pushed me into this wall where I've been like, there is nowhere to go other than slowing down. I can't speed up anymore. There's no way I could speed up any faster than I already have. And so slowing down is essential for me right now. And I think like this is such a perfect season heading into fall because it's a slowdown season in general. You know, we get to kind of cocoon and reflect and journal and be cozy and just chill out for a moment. And so I am really looking forward to this soft girl season for myself. I want to have this time and space and honestly, like kind of protection in a way to kind of heal my feminine in me. As you guys may or may not kind of subscribe to, there's, you know, masculine energy and feminine energy. Every human possesses them. And when you exist in one more than the other, a lot of those imbalances can become challenging. You know, when you're in for businesses like some people call it a launch phase, or when you're, you know, really executing your services or you're making a lot of sales or you're doing a specific project or whatever, you tend to have to exist in masculine more because masculine is kind of more logical sided, get shit done, blah, 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 just move forward, don't think about it. And the feminine side would be more of like, let's exist in this. How does it feel? How are you looking at this through more of a compassionate lens? A more creative lens, you know, all this different stuff. And that's more on the feminine side. And I find myself defaulting to the masculine side way more because that was a lot of what was exampled for me. And yeah, I was mostly raised by my father. And then also just being like having to start work and be like always the youngest person there, but have to like act and exist with all these older people. I think a lot of that made me mature a lot faster too. And I just was just always kind of existing in this masculine place. And I've never really just kind of gotten to exist in my feminine. And so, you know, I want more time to bake. I want more time to read. I want more time to play with my dog and hang out with my husband. And I want more time to actually like take care of myself with my fitness and actually get back into a routine. You know, I've lost a lot of that through a lot of the different things that I've changed with my work. And so there's so many things that I am looking forward to in the soft girl season. And like I had said throughout this episode, I really invite you to consider it for yourself and think about like, can you take a slowdown? Can you, you know, exist in a softer place for yourself where you can get out of survival mode and get more into like a nourishing mode? I know that this is essential for me right now. And so I hope that whatever you land at for yourself, that it is what aligns the most with your soul, actually. Not what anybody else wants you to do, not what your mom wants you to do, not what your dad wants you to do, not what your partner wants you to do, not what your friends are doing themselves. And so you just want to keep up with them. Do what makes you happiest, what's going to be nourishing to your soul, and what you actually need. Because in the end, we are born walking with ourselves. We die with ourselves. We don't get to take anybody with us. Nobody comes with us. People can leave us at any point in our life. And I know that that sounds harsh, but it's just my way of reminding myself that you have to make the decisions that make you happiest the most, not in a way that's selfish negatively, but in a way that's selfish because you're being true to yourself and you're showing up as your truest self for other people around you. Because if you're faking it all the time and you're trying to show up as somebody else, and you're just people pleasing your way through life, you're going to be extremely disappointed with yourself at the end of the day, especially because, again, we die alone. So we don't always get to take anybody with us. We hardly ever actually get to take anybody with us. And so if you can be alone and be happy with yourself, I think that that is the ultimate success at the end of the day. And that's only achieved by following what aligns the most with your soul to make yourself happy and therefore making the rest of the people in your life who love you happy, because everybody who loves you should be supportive of what you need for yourself the most. Okay. All right, Rebel, that's it for today's episode. I hope this was helpful for you, and share it with anybody who you think might need a soft girl season or is in one and just needs to know that other boss babes are going through it. Like we need this season right now. And so I hope that you can get out of survival mode along with me. So as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment. Walk with confidence. I'll catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.